In your name we begin, O Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We gather in your house on this occasion especially to give you thanks for what you have done for us. In so many ways you have blessed us. Fill our hearts with gratitude, we pray. Amen. As we contemplate the many things that God has given to us, we recognize first what we have done to Him, which is sin. We therefore join in confessing our sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. From the conviction of our hearts, we confess together. Almighty God, merciful Father, we confess that we were conceived and born with sin. We further confess that we have, since birth, actively sinned against you by our thoughts, words, and actions. We are sorry for our countless sins, and we humble ourselves before your holy presence. Forgive us for Jesus' sake, and renew us by your Holy Spirit. God, the Father has indeed declared you to be not guilty for Jesus' sake. By his command and according to his authority, I announce to you his divine decree that your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, through whose kindness we have again received the fruits of the earth in their season, grant us ever to rejoice especially in your mercy, that neither prosperity nor adversity may drive us from your presence. This we ask through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with our psalm of the day, Psalm 65, as projected on the screens. You may be seated. Our first scripture reading is found in Paul's first letter to Timothy, the second chapter, beginning there with the first verse. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Second reading is found in the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, beginning there with the 23rd verse. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and he is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Say also, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather and deliver us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Our next hymn is part of our effort to sing to the Lord a new song. The congregation is invited to join in the last two stanzas, stanzas 3 and 4.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace, certainly three of God's great gifts to mankind. May these be multiplied to each of you as you give thanks to your Savior God for his innumerable blessings on this Thanksgiving Eve. Amen. Dear fellow recipients of God's generosity, we'll start with a couple guarantees. Flat out guarantee. First one, ask someone at random, anyone, without pretext, without context, without any background, friend, family member, whatever, walk up to them and say, thank you. And I guarantee what the response will be. You know what it is. What would you say? For what? We want to know. Somebody says thank you and there's no context, we want to know for what? Second guarantee. Every one of you here tonight has gone fishing. In fact, you've never met anyone who hasn't gone fishing. Ever in your life. Maybe above the age of 2 or 1. The only difference is what they were fishing for. We bait our hook with what we've done, and we're fishing, not for fish, but for gratitude, for appreciation, for acknowledgement. And we do it at every age. Do you like the meal, honey? I worked on it all day long. It's just dangling it out there. Oh, honey, did you notice I changed the oil in your vehicle and reset the that annoying check engine light? Say thank you. Even little, Mommy, do you like the picture I colored for you? We guaranteed we fish for compliments. Why is that? It's because we're hardwired with this need to be noticed, appreciated. We need gratitude. In fact, people can put up with a world of adversity, hardship, and trials if we just get a little bit of gratitude. Without it, well, you've probably all seen people who live in a world with no thanks, no gratitude, and it saps their desire to continue to go on. Our God also wants to see gratitude, doesn't he? But it's different for him, isn't it? God doesn't want to see it because he needs something. That's why we do it, because we need that. But God wants to see it, as with all things, not because he lacks anything, but because it's the right thing. He wants to see it in us because it's the right thing for us. That's also what it means that God is a jealous God. Any praise, thanks, gratitude towards something other than God for the things that God does is wrong. And in that sense, God can't abide it because it's unholy. So it is this evening, we find an interesting fact in our text and throughout Scripture that when God advocates thanksgiving, gratitude, he virtually always includes the why, the background. The why is this fitting? Why is this deserving of me, your God? So also, in our text for this evening, we'll find an example, or several actually, of God's the why of thanksgiving. Our text is found in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, the first 10 verses. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you, and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So shall you keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper, and you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. This is God's word. It is thus a precious gift in and of itself, isn't it? His divine truth without error of any kind, pure, holy, the bread of life, preserved for thousands of years and delivered intact to us this evening for our growth, our comfort, our instruction. Thankful for his words and asking him to do what he alone can do through the power of these words, we pray. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. It's pretty hard, wasn't it, to miss the why of the Thanksgiving in that text? It was longer than normal, but think of the context, the setting. God had just brought the children of Israel from, rescued them from 400 years of slavery, followed by 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and they were about to enter, finally, that promised land. And yet, there's more. If we can just be in their shoes and picture what they were going to get and contrast it with what they were just leaving. Now, to us, we hear things like streams of water and brooks in the valley, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's nice. They're all over North Dakota. They just came from 40 years in the wilderness. And God is saying, here's what this land is like. And they're looking at that. And it's more than just a good place. It's prime real estate. And it's move-in ready. It wasn't like, compared to the wilderness, where nothing was tamed. This has already been tamed. The peoples that God drove out had already done all the heavy lifting. They'd already planted the vineyards. They built the walls. They built the walls around their city. They built their homes, their towers, their fortresses, their wine presses. Everything was all done. And the children of Israel just got to move in and enjoy the work of those who had done all that previous heavy lifting. All years, all ready for you. So that's obviously part of the why of the children of Israel's thanksgiving. There's another why. It's easy for us to miss. Our God here reminds his children to be thankful for and be thankful because of his commandments. That's a bit jarring, isn't it, if you stop to think about it for a little bit? It's easy for us to have somebody say what's been done for us and to be thankful for that. That's pretty natural for Christians. But it's not so natural for us to be thankful when somebody tells you what you need to do for them or what you need to do. Good parents do that all the time with their children. Children almost universally have a hard time understanding why they should be thankful for what their parents are demanding of them. What was that thing that parents said? I probably said it. Just do it, you'll thank me for it later. Oof, I vowed I would never say those, and I could hear that vow as I was saying them to my own children, but it's true, isn't it? Because children aren't born ready for a God-pleasing life, are they? Children are the most self-centered, selfish human beings on earth. That's how they're born. Totally dependent. They don't care about anyone but themselves. That's just how it is with a baby. No matter what's going on, I'm the center of attention. And all of that has to be trained out of them, doesn't it? They're not by nature loving and kind necessarily. That has to be trained into them. They don't necessarily recognize the right path to follow in all things. They're born with a natural inclination toward laziness, carelessness. That has to be trained out of them. And all are born with a natural disposition toward entitlement and ingratitude. These two parents have to purge. That's mine. Give me that. All of this explains why good parents regularly, routinely fall back on that same, just do it, someday you'll thank me for it. Or my parents used to just end with, just do it and shut up. But the thanksgiving came later. So it was with God in connection with the Jews, wasn't it? And that's the key to understanding how we can and should be thankful for God's commandments. God didn't give his commandments again because he needed something. Like God was lacking, and if the people didn't do what he wanted, he would feel slighted. I created you, and you're not doing this? I'm so mad at you. Wasn't it at all? He knew that that was the right thing to do, and anything wrong God can't tolerate. More than that, God wanted to bless them in the land that he was giving them. He said it in our text. I want to give this to you. I want you to come in here and possess it and live happily ever after. But that's not going to happen if you follow the natural inclinations of your heart. After all, God didn't drive out the people that had built all of this and developed it because they were good, because they were believers, because they were sinless, or even tried to do the right thing. He drove them out because they're their exact opposite. And God says to the children of Israel here, I want you to prosper in this land. I'm giving it to you. But it's all going to fall apart if you follow the way of the people that you're driving out. So I'm giving you commandments. I'm giving you a way to live where you can truly live. You remember the fourth commandment? Of course you do. Parents always ask me to repeat it to your children. You shall honor your father and your mother that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. You remember the better translation for that? Honor your father and mother that you may enjoy long life on the earth. In other words, disrespect, disobedience is going to make your life hard. You give honor and respect to God's authority, and God can, through them, continue to bless you. You will enjoy your life. So the why of commandments here, the whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give you and your fathers. God therefore began his warning to his children. The same would happen to them if they followed in that path. Is this starting to come home? Have you experienced any ingratitude in your heart? It's embarrassing when you stop and put in one category everything that God has done for you and given to you, and then these little first world problems that we have. Someone's driving their luxury car too slow for me. It's not my donkey threw a shoe and now I have to walk 20 miles to the market. I mean, when you really think about how frustrated or angry or upset or ungrateful we get about little things that go wrong. Let me look at these children of Israel. Listen again to what God said to them in our text. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. Now remember, we're not spectators here. We're not looking at this as though we're sitting in judgment about some dead Jews that died thousands of years ago and, oh, those ungrateful slobs, apply this. That he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Do you think that was just for the Jews or is that also for us? When God allows things to come into our lives, do we grumble and complain? Do we look for God's word in it, God's message? What might God be telling me here? Now, we don't have divine revelation, so we have to investigate. And if something's amiss, correct it. And he humbled you and let you hunger. And then what? And fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. And then the why of the thanksgiving for that? That he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. Huh. God's love in his discipline. So shall you keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. God knew them. God knows you. God knows me. No matter how great or seemingly permanent the blessing, we forfeit it when we turn away or turn against our God. God says, just do it. You'll thank me for it later. So God here gives the Jews the why of this thanksgiving. That is, he spelled out exactly for them why they should be thankful. This isn't, by the way, an unusual thing in God's word. In fact, it's the rule rather than the exception, where when God advocates gratitude, thanksgiving, praise to him, because we're so thick, he often gives us the why. Start with the prayer. It was part of our Old Testament, one of our readings for this evening. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? How does it go on? For he is good. And then you can know that you can just have pure thanksgiving, which is not looking forward or trying to be grateful so that God continues to bless him. That pure thanksgiving is just thanking God for the past. Right now, past. That's true, pure thanksgiving. Not, okay, I'm thankful, so keep blessing me. And why can we do that? Why can we say, God is good, thank you, God, without looking forward? Well, then it goes on. For he is good, for his mercy, his steadfast love, endures forever. You don't have to worry about the future. You can just thank him for the past, knowing that that same mercy that he showed on us, his steadfast love, doesn't have an expiration date. You can be thankful, trusting that he's going to keep blessing you. The Psalms, not every single one of them, so many of them advocate, praise the Lord, thank the Lord, bless the Lord, show your gratitude, and then spend the rest of the psalm with the why. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then here comes the why. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Over and over again, be thankful. Why? Paul, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And we look for the why, and there it is. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. And then finally also, you shall bless the Lord your God. That's from our text. Why? You shall eat and be full for the good land, and for the good land he has given you. Has there ever been a better land than ours? We've never known anything like third world countries. I don't know, maybe some of you have been apprehensive about where your next meal was going to come from, but here you are. And no one looks like they need an IV, and no one is probably looking at ramen noodles tomorrow. He's always filled us. No matter how poor you grew up, I just can't remember a time when I was hungry. My parents maybe were hungry from time to time, but the kids never were. We always had clothes. We always had a warm house. We always had enough. Always. So God wants to bless us. And yet we know that when we turn against him, we can't expect him to bless us into damnation. He's going to call us back. He's going to discipline us. So we thank him for that too. And then when we have to have a day where we focus on thanksgiving, and when that's something other than the norm, when it's something different than we live every day of our lives, every moment of our lives, well, guess what? Then we stumble on the greatest why, finally. The greatest why of thanksgiving, for in the very face of our sin, our disobedience, our ingratitude, our rebellion, the greatest why of thanksgiving is God sent his Son to us, to the ones we just described, and the way we are and were, and he looked and he, is there anyone who deserves this? And God in his word says, no, not one. So what would be the natural thing God would do? Not going to do it. That's natural, but God's unnatural love for us. The greatest reason to give thanks to God is, of course, the cross and his own Son that he hung on that cross to pay for our sins in the face of our rebellion, our ingratitude, our lack of thanks and praise on a daily, moment-by-moment blessing. That's the good land we should see in our text. God was leading them into a physical land, but God has led us into life eternal already. The soul that lives and believes shall never die. Now we're at some point along our life here on this earth, we don't know how close we are to entering that final promised land. Good beyond our imagination. Makes the best of this life as nothing. And God did that by dumping our sin on his Son and giving us instead, through faith in that Son, which he himself created, his Son's perfection, his Son's righteousness. So that one day, whenever our God calls us home, we don't need to be terrified because of our ingratitude, because of our sin, because it's all been placed on his Son, and we have God's promise that he who believes in me shall never die. To that God, we offer our thanks now and always. Acknowledging with the Apostle Paul in Romans 11 the why of our thanksgiving, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Please rise for our offertories. We respond to our hearing of the word with our thanksgiving confession of faith based on the words of the first article. I believe that God has made me and every living thing. He has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still preserves them. He has given me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, property and possessions. He daily and richly provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He protects me from all danger. He guards and preserves me from every evil. He does all of this out of pure, fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all of this, I thank, praise, serve, and obey him. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the kindness and the mercy you have showered upon us, your beloved children in Christ. You continually feed, clothe, guard, and protect us, and in countless ways amply provide for our physical well-being. The bounties of land and ocean, of forest, mine, and factory, which we receive from your hand, fill our hearts with gladness and thanksgiving. We thank you, kind and gracious God, for your many blessings upon our Christian families. We are confident that you watch over us whenever we leave our homes, and that unknowingly we are constantly brushed by the feather tips of our angels. Remember, or furthermore, you supply shelter over our heads. You provide us with jobs and income, with health and strength to carry on. By the example of your own love for us, you have taught us and the members of our families to love and respect one another, to live together in peace and harmony. It is true, O Father, that at times you find it necessary to discipline us, but you also heal. You bring us low, but then graciously raise us up again and make us your people through the experience. By hearing and answering our prayers, you are our refuge. You are our strength, our rock, our ever-present help in trouble. We thank you and bless your holy name. Though as a nation we have often offended you by our sins and forsaken you, yet in your mercy you have chosen not to abandon us. Though we are often wasteful, you still continue to supply our homes and our country with abundant resources. You bless us through science and medicine. You have given us a standard of living that is beyond compare with our ancestors. You have provided cures for countless ailments. For all of these evidences of your love, we praise you, dear Father in heaven. But your greatest benefits are those that have secured our everlasting salvation, as we can trust you, Heavenly Father, to continue to provide for our earthly needs, so also we trust you to continue to preserve us in that saving faith. We thank you then for our word, that means through which you strengthen and comfort us. And in our lives there are special things for which we thank you. We thank you especially this evening for delivering a healthy baby to Dalton and Allison Loeb. We pray continue to preserve both child and her parents in your protection, in your care. Deliver her to the waters of holy baptism. And then do thou be her guard, her God, her guardian. Be a hedge of protection around both parents and child. We give thanks to you, O Lord, for in this also you are good. All of these things represent poverty of worship, poverty of thanksgiving, for your blessings to us are endless, are countless. And so, trusting that you hear our imperfect prayer, hear us also as we pray that prayer your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.